Father, I just ask you right now, God, that you open up the ears of the people that they might hear. God, I just ask that you just use me as a vessel so that I might speak your word powerfully through your Holy Spirit. And above all, God, let it be that they receive, begin to understand, and go forward in their life that they might be blessed by your presence always. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, okay. Amen. Now what happens to us is, in reality, a lot of people have it wrong. You aren't looking for Jesus. Jesus has been tugging on your heart forever. So he's knocking on your door. And one day, if you're in this room, I hope you're saved. Okay? That doesn't mean that just because you're in this room, you're saved. It means that salvation is the first step. Now there's one error on this paper, and it says saved, which is your first step right here. It says saved. And what that means is you do the sinner's prayer, and you ask Jesus into your heart, right? But indeed, you aren't making him Lord yet. You are making him your Savior. All right? How many people know that it takes time to make Jesus Lord?
Yeah.
When you first get saved, you don't even know what that means. If you're like me, you're in rebellion. I had a pastor tell me one time that he was a slave to Jesus. And I told him right away, there was no way I was going to be a slave to anybody. But as you grow in the Lord, you find out that that is your freedom, is in being His servant. But when you first get saved, you're very carnal, and you're going through a lot of things. You have pride issues, many things going on in your life, but you don't want to be anybody's slave, but you do need a Savior, and you recognize that. Amen? So the first stage of your life, what happens is, if you're like me, the Lord touched me sovereignly in my house. And I knew right away it was Him. And I told Him, God, you get me out of here and I will serve you all my days. And from then on, I started to change. But indeed, I knew nothing about being a Christian. Matter of fact, most Christians I met were, now I know, backslidden. They were barely Christians at all, and they were hypocrites. And I didn't want to be a Christian, but I wanted to be a child of the King. Right? I used to tell people, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm a child of God. Because Christians have problems just like everybody else. And I didn't understand the stages of growth. So what happens is, right here is where you really start. And everybody starts at the same place. It does not matter if you're a doctor. It does not matter if you're a lawyer. It does not matter if you're a street person. It does not matter. When you meet God, God is the leveler of all people, and we all start at the same place. We get saved. Amen? That means that it is a common denominator. We are all the same in Christ, and that is the truth. Now, once we get saved, we become what I call a carnal Christian. All right? Now, it says in here, and it is true, a carnal Christian may smoke, right? May still drink, may still have weekend affairs. Did I say he was a Christian? He's a carnal Christian. How many people know what I'm talking about? Paul talked about carnal Christians in the Bible. People that are not fully developed. Okay? So they may even cuss. And to this day, I'm guilty sometimes. I'm working on it. I am not perfected. All right? They may murmur, complain, backbite. How many people know that we live in a church full of backbiters? Amen? And that's because they're carnal. They still do not appreciate the things of God. They may have no work ethic. They're lazy. They're sluggards. You know what I mean? They'll go work for the man and make a dollar, but they won't do a damn thing in the church. If I'm stepping on toes, too bad. Amen. How come is it we'll work for money, but when it comes for working for God, we got to be paid money? You understand? And I can say this because I know the truth is that God is the best reward. in every circumstance. But this is a carnal Christian. Now, you know what? It's one thing to get saved. All right? It's another thing to grow up. There's a lot of people that I think need to get saved about once a year because they only go so far, and then what happens is they backslide because they have no substance in themselves. It says that you have got to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God in order that you might grow. And without learning the Word of God, you are not going to grow. You can be a prayer warrior, but it's not enough. The prayer brings the energy. Amen? But being misguided by not knowing the truth will cause you to backslide. There are people in this room today, upstairs and downstairs, that think they know the things of God, but because they do not yet know the Word of God nor practice it in their life, they will make big errors because they're sure they're right, but it's because they still don't know the truth of God. The only way you're going to grow up through these stages is by learning and abiding in the Word of God. All right? Now, when I got saved, I had to learn a new language. It's called Christianese. Now, I assure you, if you go out on the street, people don't sound like that. I went into a church, and they started telling me to do this and do that, and I knew it was work, and they told me it was a blessing. No, it was work. Amen. And I'm sure I'll get blessed for it. But, you know, they twist things, right? That's like when people would come up to me and say things like, well, I'll pray for you, brother. I figured out that in the end, they probably weren't going to do anything for me. Amen. There is a whole Christian language that is also formed around King James. King James is the old language, right? It's a really old language. They don't speak it anywhere except in church. And you know what? It is hard to understand sometimes, especially if you're not churched. Christians sing songs that make no sense to a person that is not saved. I walked into a church when I first got saved, and they started singing about the blood, the everlasting blood, you know, of the Lamb and all that. And I walked in there, and I thought it was a church. And while they were singing, I was going, oh my God. What kind of a cult have I walked into now? How many people can relate to that? You see, people, we have got to be a person, a church, that can relate to everybody. Amen? And we got to remember, just because we're saved, doesn't mean that people understand all the things that we've learned. There has got to be somebody, some method, of teaching new converts. You can't just assume they're going to understand things, even though they want to. I am a prime example of a stone-cold heathen that when I went to church, it was the coldest place I'd ever been in my life. Amen? When I walked into that church, I had long hair, rode a motorcycle, had a gun in my back, a K-bar on my side, and I mad-dogged everybody. And the only thing that was worse than me was the people that were looking at me. Are you hearing me? Because they took one look at me and they were afraid for some reason. But you know what? If they'd have been grown up Christians instead of carnal ones, perfect love casts out all fear. We got to grow up to deal with our babies. Amen? And the other side of the coin is the way most people learn is not by what you say, but what you do. Amen? That's why I won't have a person come in this room that smokes and give a Bible study. No, it's not okay. I won't have a person in this room give a Bible study or be a leader that drinks. It's not okay. You're not to be a person that stumbles your brother. When Christians first get saved, when babies first get saved, the biggest teaching they go through is watching Christians. It ain't what you're saying. It's what you're doing. You know, when I first went to church, I couldn't believe what was going on. I thought everybody went to church and, I mean, everything was perfect. I remember thinking, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. And then I noticed when I was driving by bars, the same people that were in church were in the bars. And I found out that the divorce rate in the church was just as high as those that are outside the church. And I had to sit there and scratch my head and wonder, is anybody really saved? How many people can relate to that? And then I had to pray and ask God, God, show me, why are these things true? And the truth is that most people, because they're lazy and they like who they used to be and they just don't want to do right in general, they stay right here. They stay carnal in their life. They don't grow any further than just barely being saved. This is barely saved. Amen. Now my wife tells me you're either pregnant or you're not. I don't know. I've never been pregnant. I'm sure there's some truth in that. Amen. But I'm here to tell you today that my Bible tells me to be a fruit inspector. And when I inspect the fruit, I assure you if I got people throwing fits, angry, throwing things around, cussing, backbiting, all the rest of that, they're babies. Amen. Now they can be saved. They can have met Christ, but you see, the problem is they have not made Christ Lord yet in their life. You understand? That's why we got to cross out, Emilio, that part where it says Lord and Savior. When you get saved, you go up to Him and say, God, I'm all screwed up. Help me, God. You know what I mean? Come into my heart. Lead me, guide me, God. Amen? But you don't automatically go, okay, I'll do whatever you want, God. Do you? No, I don't think so. Amen? So there's a difference between being saved and making Jesus Lord. Can we agree on that? And I got a theory I'm going to give you today, and I know that there's opposition to it, but I want to be truthful with you. The Bible says that in order to make it into heaven, you must be born again. Now, if you're born again, how come you're still acting like that old man you used to be? Are you hearing me? I'm going to tell you, I haven't got it all figured out yet, but the Bible says if you confess Jesus, right? If you confess Jesus and believe that He is the Son of God, that you will be saved. Amen? But it says, in order to make it into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. It says, all old things pass away, all things become new. And I'm here to tell you that I know it's a process. And the process is what I'm trying to show today. Okay, so you get saved, right? Jesus, help me, Lord. I need your help, God. I'm tore up from the floor up. Come into my life. Change my heart, God. Amen? That's what I did. I don't know. Maybe you went in the corner and just went, well, could you maybe kind of... I don't know. But me, when I got to my end, I was yelling, help me, God. Help me, God. I'm all tore up, God. Help me. Right? Why? I was all tore up. I needed Jesus. I'm proud to say that God comes back for those that need help. You better be sure that you acknowledge that you need help. Amen? So when you first get saved, this is the step. You make the sinner's prayer. Amen? And then you make Him Savior. Help me, God. You do that confession thing, right? So the next step that automatically happens is you automatically step here to where you're a carnal Christian. How many people recognize that? You smoke, you drink, weekend affairs, cuss, murmur, no work ethic. Amen? That really is, you don't just, I have never met anybody. I've heard evangelists that came up to me. And I remember one day I was sitting there, and I was like 6 months old in the Lord, and I was sitting in a meeting, right? And this evangelist comes in, and he's fire and brimstone and all this stuff, you know? And I'm listening, and I'm trying. You know what I mean? I'm really trying to be right. And this guy gives me his testimony about how when he got baptized in the water, he lost his cusser. And I was struggling in that area. And he goes, yes, Dominic, you know, what happened was I got baptized in the water and I went down underneath the water and when I came out, I lost my cusser. And I go, man. And I looked at God, I go, how come him and not me? You understanding what I'm saying? I mean, I went down underneath the water, and when I came up, I mean, I felt a lot different. It was a good thing. But unfortunately, God still left my cusser in a little bit. can you guys be real? Let's just be real. It is a progression in Christ. You know, I believe in deliverance. I've seen heroin addicts that have been stone cold, going through withdrawals on heroin. We went over and laid hands on them, prayed for them, believed for them, and watched them jump up, run around, fully delivered from the withdrawal process, and 2 weeks later, be back on dopamine. So I believe God can do whatever He wants. But I'm going to tell you this much. He didn't get my cusser when I was in the water. Amen. And I still am working on that issue to this day. Alright? So don't be discouraged if everything doesn't change overnight. Because it takes time. Everything is time and application. But the Word of God is what helps you to grow. The hearing of the Word of God, the applying of the Word of God is what helps you to grow. Now we go to my favorite, the fence walkers that know they're walking the fence. Look like they've been on a horse. You can see them. You know what I mean? One day they walk on this side and then they get tired of it, so they go back and they walk on this side. How many people know what I'm talking about? The stinking yo-yos. Yo-yo Christians. Semi-spiritual. But they're making a choice whether to be spiritual or not. Amen? They know the truth now. They've learned the truth now. But now they willingly and knowingly are disobedient. Amen? They're right there and they're making decisions. Am I going to make Jesus Lord? Or am I not going to make Jesus? Do I want to do what I want to do? Or do I want to do what He wants me to do? Are you hearing me? How many people know that's part of our decision-making process in the Lord? Amen? We get this far. We learn the truth. This is a semi-spiritual person. You know, usually they're the ones that amen the loudest. Amen? They're the ones that seem really spiritual. Right? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm one of them people that when I hear those loud amens and all that, usually I really watch them. What are they trying to hide from me? It's not always true, but usually they're the first ones to leave here. Amen. I'm just telling you, hey, I can be honest with you guys, right? I'm not impressed by words, it's actions. Amen. Everybody's full of words. I got all kinds of professional people in this room that never been to drama school, but they're full of drama and drag. Trust me, you lived on the street, you got it. You are an actor, actress, you're a hustler. You're a manipulator. You're all those things. You can smile at somebody while you're sticking a knife in them. I'm not impressed by those things. I'm a fruit inspector. Amen? I watch people's fruit. Amen? Alright. So this semi-spiritual person, which is, I don't know, this is a group. Now, you gotta help me with this. Most of the church is in one of these two categories. Amen? That's why we're not walking in the power that we could be in the body of Christ. Amen? Alright, so it says right here, this Christian knows, let me learn how to spell, knows what to do. You know what I mean? They know what's right and wrong. You've been a Christian for a while, you kind of know what's right and wrong. Amen? But does what they want when they want to. Amen? You know they make that decision. Well, you know I should do this, but hey, it's only this one time. Yeah, I know. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Does it make sense? It's real. How many people recognize this as a real path you go to in Christ? It's real. Amen. I didn't understand. And I am not the judge, nor the jury, nor the executioner. And I don't know who is saved and who is not saved in this room. Amen. I don't know who's backslidden. All I do is I inspect the fruit. And you know what? Apple trees don't make oranges. And fig trees don't make bananas. So if you tell me you're a Christian and you live like hell, you're confused or you're lying. Amen. I just want to be really honest here. So I really think that between these two categories right here, this is the majority of our church. How many people can believe that? I mean, really, they're saved, You know, they're working on things, but in the end, they ain't going nowhere fast. Right? I'm just being honest. I look around. I watch people. I watch, listen to me. The biggest problem in the church today is not drugs and alcohol. It's sexual immorality. Did I say that? And I meant it too. The biggest problem in the church today is not drugs and alcohol. It is sexual immorality. You got people that make every prayer meeting. You got people that say they love God. And sometimes, for whatever reason, they fall off the path in a large way. And it's usually not drugs or alcohol. Amen? I don't get it, but I know it's true. I remember, you know, going through all these struggles. How many people can remember struggling through these categories I'm talking about? You know what I mean? I mean, I got saved, and I'm going, duh, now what? Who are you? What do you want from me? Show me. And I go to church, and the pastor tells me, well, read James. Okay, so I read James. I went back to the church the next day. He goes, read John. So I go to read John. I go back to the church the next day. I go, what's next? I wore that guy out. He no longer had anything to say to me. Because he'd give me a book, and I had been transformed by the miracle grace of God. Amen. I knew that I was all the way wrong, but I knew I'd been touched, and nobody was there to show me things. So I made a lot of mistakes because I had no teachers. And I was using other people in the church as an example, and then I figured out, boy, that's really wrong. I've got to learn the Bible, and I got to live like what the Bible says and quit worrying about those people in the church. Because the Bible is always right, and people are usually wrong. It says, let everyone know that man is a liar, but God tells the truth. So when God sets up a standard, that's His standard, and people screw it up. But we've got to go with God's standard, not our standard. Amen? And I'm telling you, I'm not picking on the church. I am the church. Hello? I'm a leader in LA International Church. I got the right to talk the truth. Amen? I live at church. Most people don't do that. I live here. I work here. I am part of this church. I'm just being honest. And I'm trying to show people this is when you're going to make a decision whether you're going to make your destiny happen in your life in Christ or you're going to live in mediocrity and lose the very reason why God put you on this planet. How many people can believe that? You're either going to, at this point, make a decision, hey, I'm going to give it all to you, God, and you use me. Or else you're going to be back and forth all your life and never be fulfilled in God. I'm going to tell you that the hardest thing to do is step over this line. Amen? The hardest thing to do when you get to this point is say, okay, enough wishy-washy. I'm going to do this thing. The hardest thing to do is to step across that line and live your life solely for God and put yourself to the side. It's hard not to get what you want when you want it. It's hard not to do what you want when you want to do it. But that is the only way that you're going to get to where God wants to take you. Listen to me. Serving God is like going down a mountain road in a car at high speed, you driving, and blinders on. Listen to me. God knows where you're going. He's the only one. Right? How can you get your self there? You don't know when to turn left. You don't know when to turn right. You don't know when to stay on the path. The only way to get to your destiny is by letting God be Lord in your life. Listen, now this is a hinge. This is a hinge in your life. I have got everywhere in God by prayer, fasting, and waiting for Him. That waiting is the hardest part. Amen? But when I got saved in Linwood, which is about 30 miles from here. Very nice neighborhood. Right between Watts and Compton. Live entertainment every night. Had my shotgun inside. People running up and down the road shooting each other. It was a good thing. Never had to watch TV. Amen? I'm telling you, I was entertained. But I was not saved. I'm going to be honest about who I was. Amen? So I got saved, right? And then God sent me back to Texas to clean up some personal business. And I screwed up there. And then when I got done screwing up, He sent me back here to Long Beach. So I went to Long Beach. And then from Long Beach, I went to Pomona. And from Pomona, I went to Lake Elsinore. And from Lake Elsinore, I came here. Now you tell me how I could have ever figured out that path. Are you hearing me? How could I ever have figured out what direction He wanted me to go by myself? And the answer is, I could not. And neither can you. Jesus has got to be Lord in your life. You've got to do the things He asks you to do, when He asks you to do them, in order to get to where you're supposed to be to inherit your destiny. That's why this is decision-making time. Now, by the time you get to this semi-spiritual state, you've really experienced some of the good things of God. You've experienced His presence. He's taken and hugged you tight and made you feel good. But this is the time when you're going to make or break your destiny. Now, I want you to know I said that between these two spots usually is where most Christians stay. Because they still want to do what they want to do. Amen? They don't want to really serve God. They might want to talk about it, but they don't really want to do it. They got their own agenda, if you will. Alright? But now, this is what happens. If you get to this decision-making time, this is like the line you got to cross right here. Right here. This is it. That's the one. You got to get past that to inherit your destiny. Now, how many people believe that God Almighty has sent a lot of people to earth that did not fulfill what He would have them to do? It's sad, ain't it? You think about it. God, Jesus, and His dad and the Holy Spirit, our family, sent you to earth not just to have babies, not just to get married, not just to go do whatever else you do, be a professional, be a bum, whatever. Amen? God sent you here to earth for a specific purpose and task that He has assigned to you from the beginning of time. He didn't send you here to do what you wanted you to do. God Almighty sent you here with a mission. Amen? And it's your mission, specifically designed for you. But you can't get to it unless He shows you the way, and He can't show you the way unless you learn to be obedient. I love that big old word, obedience. I'm telling you, it's hard, isn't it? Goes right along with that S word, submission. I hate it, but it's God's path. Amen? So you get to this point right here, semi-spiritual, right? Knows what to do, it does it when they want. Still making their own decisions, but God's working on you. God's tugging on you. He's trying to get you to go the right way, but you got to listen. Amen? So you make the decision, okay, God, I'm done with all this stuff. I'm done with doing what I want to do. I am miserable because you're very miserable right here. Do you recognize that? You are very miserable while you're going through the decision-making process because you know what you're supposed to do. You know what you want to do, and they don't line up. Something got to give. So what's going to happen in this place is you're either going to start circle-jerking, backsliding and coming back to here and starting again. Amen? Or you're going to go forward. You cannot just stop your walk in Christ and be okay. You have got to be steadily progressing or you're going to backslide. You've got to be steadily learning, seeking Him more than ever before, or you're going to backslide. Nothing on this planet stays still. The earth turns 24 hours a day. It goes around the sun 365 days a year. And if it stopped, it would fall into the sun and burn itself off, and so will you. You have got to keep progressing. There is no way out. So you get to this point, and boom, you either backslide and start all over again, which really scares me, because I know where I came from. I don't want to start over again no more. Alright? Or else you make Jesus Lord. Are you hearing me? Jesus Lord. Now this is the stage where it's called fine-tuning. Now this is when the pressure really turns on. Amen? Now, okay, God, I'm going to serve you. And then you fully submit. And then you're going to meet people that are going to help you to get to where you're going. And they may not be the nicest people. And it will seem like probably they don't spend enough time with you and stuff. And it seems like they're always telling you things without explanation. Because now you've got to really learn to trust God. Amen. And you've got to recognize that He is sovereign. And whatever you're going through now that you've made the decision to really serve Him, it is going to be for a purpose. Amen. So it says here that Jesus is Lord in your life, and this is the stage of fine-tuning. You quit making so many mistakes, although you make mistakes. Amen. Your prayer life is growing, and the things of this world begin to mean little. I don't give a rip if I have a car or not. That's not important to me. I don't care if I own a mansion or a shack or nothing at all. That's not important to me. Amen? What's important to me is, am I going to fulfill my destiny? Am I going to complete the task that God had me to be born into this world to do? And that is the only way you're going to get the right focus on what He has you to do. In my case, I had a job. I was making $55,000, $60,000 a year, working 40 hours a week. Amen? In my worst depravity, I always had a good work ethic. Amen? And the Lord told me to quit. And He told me three times, three different jobs. I was in the union, so I could always go get a job. Amen? And what He told me was to quit. And I quit, and I went from making a grand plus a week down to zero. Because you can't get unemployment when you quit a job. Amen. And I spent 3.5 years with no income. Zero. Some kind church person come up and give me $20. They see shoes on my feet that had holes in them. And they buy me a pair of shoes. They bought me a good pair of pants whenever they saw I had holes in my pants. Hello. But that was my first real workshop. Are you hearing me? Humble pie. Lots of it. You got to be humble. So when you make Jesus Lord in your life, you're really going to start to become a leader. You're now going to be in leadership training. Amen? This is a point where God's going to give you what you need to get to your destiny. Are you hearing me? This is when you're going to get the rest of the stuff. It's not going to mean you got everything, but it's going to give you the character and integrity you need. Serve God. Is everybody following me so far? Are you following me? How many people can relate to this so far? I know nobody wants to talk about quitting jobs. He didn't give me no choice. Maybe you weren't called like that. I was. Amen? Whatever God wants you to do, just do it. Alright? And the last one here, it says, is holy as He would have you to be. Alright? What does that mean? You're now really on the path to your destiny. Alright? What does that mean? You've given up your whole life for God now. Amen? You've given up your whole life for God now. Right? You've made that decision. He's establishing you. You've got to be established. And it's going to take time to be established. But it says at this stage, the Christian should lead by example. Now you take responsibility for who you are and you lead by example. And when people look at you, they see Jesus. They don't see you no more. Amen. You get to a point in your life where people don't see who you used to be. They now see Jesus in you. And that is the key to fulfilling your destiny, is not being who you were, but being who God has made you. You cannot get here without going through these other stages. I'm going to tell you right now that I care more about winning the lost than anything else in my life. There are people out there that are going to hell in a handbasket, but while we have Christian yuppie parties at church. Amen? We got to throw open the doors and let them come in, whether they stink or not. We got to show the love of Jesus so that they might see real love. And I'm telling you today that that is my biggest goal, because in the end, God wants all of us to be a soul winner. Okay. Now this here is the end of the path, which means that your destiny is here. Amen? This is where you go to, starting here. You get saved. You become a carnal Christian. You become semi-spiritual. Decision-making time. Amen? And then from there, you make Jesus Lord. You have to make Jesus Lord to go any further. And then when you make Jesus Lord, He's going to supply the rest of the things that you need to get to your destiny. How many people here want to receive the destiny God meant for them? How many people want it? This is the cost of all the things that is true. Jesus must be Lord in your life. You must not hold back any area from Him in your life. You must just say, not my will, but yours, God. You show me. You identify it, and I will become it. It means a total dying to self. Amen? And if you do that, there isn't nothing like it, but the pressures get greater. They do, because you're dealing with people, and how many know people are pain in the butt? You were a pain in the butt. What makes you think that everybody else isn't going to be a pain in the butt? Right? I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I want to be in ministry, but I don't want to deal with people. Good luck. They got problems. Didn't you have problems? Don't you have problems? Are you hearing me? You are going to become a praying person, because you're going to get up like me every morning and go, God, help me! I need help. Every day, the first thing I do is just tell God, it ain't no real specific prayer right away. First thing I do is just say, help me, God! And then I get into specifics. But I want Him to know right away, I'm lost and I need you today. And you got to learn to listen to the things that God would tell you. And you've got to learn to be sure that you're listening to His voice, not yours. Amen? And when you go through all these steps, then you will have been prepared for your destiny. And the biggest problem you're going to have is going to start at the very beginning. Your character, amen, and your integrity. These are basic building blocks that God wants you to work through right away. You make your yeas, your nays, your nays. Amen? You train yourself and discipline yourself to do right, not wrong. You give your life wholly over to God, and when you do, He will reward you in your life. I'm here to tell you that the biggest problem you got is yo-yo Christians. I'm not really interested in teaching people anything they don't want to learn. It's a waste of my time. I'm here to tell you that you start here and you go to here. And if you get that far, then you got to go to here. And if you get that far, then you got to go to here. And if you get that far, you got to go to here. And if you deny God at any point of going further, then your end result, no matter where you are, is you got to start all over again. Amen? You've seen great preachers fall. Billion-dollar ministries. Amen? Why? Jesus was no longer Lord in their life. Are you following me? You've seen people that seem like they were on fire 1 month, and the next month, they're out in the bars again. What happened? They didn't make Jesus Lord. I'm here to tell you today that the biggest thing missing in our life as a church is giving Jesus the authority to run our life. But if you do not keep growing in Jesus, you are going to backslide. I don't care how long you know God. I know people that served God for 40 years and backslid. What happened? Jesus was the Lord. They quit growing. They started fellowshipping with others than the brethren. They started getting outside of where they were supposed to be. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to end this. Right now, this is what I know. When God Jesus comes up and says, hey, follow me, what He means is you follow Him. You don't tell Him what you want to do. Because God's over here, and you're over here doing what you want to do, and you are now outside of the learning and the protection that He'll give you as you follow Him. It is up to you to make Jesus Lord in your life. But in every case, this is the truth. You get saved. You become a carnal Christian. Then you become semi-spiritual. One that knows what to do, but does not do it. And in the end, you're going to make a decision. And the first bad decision you make may not be the last one. But the first time that you say, no, I'm not going to do this, you're on the slide again. People, more than anything in my life, I want you to grow up and be all that God would have you to be. I want you to fulfill your destiny. And there are five clear categories that you must look at in your life in order to get there. Getting saved is not enough. The big hinge is making Jesus Lord. That's when it really happens. I pray that this Bible study in some way enlightens you to see the truth. There are steps and stages to a Christian's growth. You need to go to your mirror and look at it and be honest. Where are you? And remember, if you don't go forward, you're going to end up going backwards. And it's up to you. Father, I'm so happy today that You gave us this life, God. And I pray that none of us waste it, Lord. Because we know it was bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. And God, I just thank You personally for reaching down and digging me out of the muck and the mire, God. And Lord, help me to serve You all my days. God, let it be that You help people in this room to fully understand Your truth as You would have them to, not as they want to believe, God. Help us, Lord, to serve You. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,